Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Robert Jensen. He's an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Sonali.
European finance ministers met today in Brussels ahead of a Eurozone summit to tackle the Greek financial crisis. Among them was Greece's new finance minister, Euclid Sakalotos, who replaced Mr. Yanis Varoufakis. The meetings are being seen as the start of a new round of negotiations over the Greek debt crisis. Greece needs immediate debt relief as it has literally run out of money and banks remain closed. It needs to meet a payment deadline of 3.5 billion euros to the European Central Bank by July 22nd. But European leaders, especially Germany, are reluctant to offer relief without a plan to cut services and pensions, even though the International Monetary Fund has admitted that Greece's debt is unsustainable and that there must be some writing off of debts. On Sunday, a majority of Greeks voted definitively to reject austerity measures. Bob, should we be seeing this whole story playing out in Europe as a showdown between two incompatible concepts, and that's neoliberal capitalism and democracy?
Well, I might suggest we drop the modifier neoliberal and just recognize that capitalism itself in any form, which is a wealth-concentrating system, has always been incompatible with real democracy, because democracy means distributing political power. I think we can also use this moment to recognize that capitalism is also inconsistent with ecological sustainability, and try to think about alternatives. So, austerity is a term that's come to suggest people with power and people with money imposing conditions on the poor and working people of the world. But frugality, the idea that we have to conserve, that we have to recognize that consumer capitalism in its current form is unsustainable, is not a bad alternative. So I'm going to give the Greek media consultant a freebie here and suggest the bumper sticker should be frugality, not austerity.
And here in the United States, the South Carolina Senate is voting today to take down the Confederate flag weeks after a white supremacist massacred 9 African Americans in Charleston. A procedural vote yesterday, which passed 37-3, indicates broad bipartisan support in the Senate, but that is not guaranteed in the State House. A CNN ORC poll last week found a sharp racial divide among Americans over the flag, with most whites seeing it as a symbol of pride and most blacks as a symbol of hate. Whites with higher education were less supportive of the flag than less educated whites. Senate Majority Leader Harvey Peeler, who opposes taking down the flag, said, quote, "To remove the flag from the State House grounds and thinking it would change history would be like removing a tattoo from the corpse of a loved one and thinking that it would change a loved one's obituary," end of quote. Well, Bob, even though I disagree with Peeler about the flag, I think it is true that simply taking the flag down doesn't erase a racist past. It needs to go way beyond taking down a flag. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. But first of all, let's recognize that statement treats the flag as if it's part of history. The flag is a contemporary question. It's a symbol today, not something tattooed on a corpse. So if you were going to put your loved one's corpse on display, then it would change the equation a little bit. But you're absolutely right. This is a moment where white liberals who can feel superior to the overt white supremacy of the South that still lingers. I'm here in Texas and see it all the time. To not give into that smugness and to recognize that the United States is a white supremacist country. There are overt white supremacists like the shooter in South Carolina, but we have a problem of a deeply embedded white supremacy in this culture, and that's about the distribution of resources and power. That's about police violence. That's about a lot of things that won't be corrected, as you point out, by bringing down a flag.
Although it certainly could be a good first step.
Absolutely.
Finally, Associated Press has obtained the release of deposition documents from 2005 in a case of sexual misconduct by Bill Cosby. The documents reveal for the first time, in Mr. Cosby's own words, that he obtained Quaaludes, a synthetic drug popular in the 1970s, and that he offered them to women. The release documented questioning by Dolores Troiani, who was representing Andrea Constand, a woman accusing Cosby of sexual assault. Troiani asked, quote, "When you got the Quaaludes, was it in your mind that you were going to use these Quaaludes for young women that you wanted to have sex with?" Cosby replied, "Yes." Cosby fought against the release of the documents with his lawyer, saying it would, quote, be terribly embarrassing for this material to come out. There are currently a number of cases alleging rape and sexual abuse against him. Well, Bob, these revelations ought to silence Cosby's defenders, has it?
Well, let's hope so. But first of all, it's hard not to be cynical about a lawyer's claim that information that demonstrates that you drugged and raped younger women is embarrassing. Well, of course, embarrassing doesn't quite capture the fact that that's criminal behavior. You know, the Cosby affair has been, in a very personal way, quite disturbing, not only because of Cosby's behavior, but the way in which people have supported him, the way he did a show after these revelations made it clear he was a long-term sexual predator. And people went to the show and people applauded him. And that says something not only about the moral depravity of Bill Cosby, it says something about the way in which in this very patriarchal society, people will overlook evidence of sexual predation, let's call it what it is, rape, and still give a man the what we like to call the benefit of the doubt. That's something more disturbing about this culture, not just about Bill Cosby.
Well, Bob, always a pleasure to have you on. I want to thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks.
Robert Jensen is an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin and our daily newsflash guest expert. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.